You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bache, host of The Entrepreneurs. Eddie Brooke is co-founder and CEO of Cape Byron Distillery, the upstart gin maker just a stone's throw from Byron Bay in Australia. The distillery exists on the Brooke family's property covered in wild rainforest, which gives their Brookies gins incredible tasting notes of native fruits and flavors of licorice, aniseed, and wild ginger. Eddie's parents bought the property some 30 years ago, when it was nothing more than a barren wasteland. Over a generation, and after planting 35,000 subtropical rainforest trees, they've turned the 96-acre farm into an oasis for birds and animals. Eddie grew up selling products made from the property's macadamia trees, but in university went on to work in Brisbane's food and drink scene. Eventually, as a brand ambassador for Brooklady Distillery, he got to know the world-famous Scotch whiskey distiller Jim McEwen, who was so interested in the possibilities of creating spirits on the Brook family's unique property, he invested in the venture and is today a mentor to Eddie. Launched in 2016, the Cape Byron Distillery produces two unique gins and a roasted macadamia liquor, with plans to release a whiskey currently aging in casks at the distillery. The company has also just launched their products in the UK. For this week's show, I had the great pleasure to sit down with Eddie at Midori House to hear the story of Cape Byron Distillery and to have a wee sample of the spirits as well.
My parents, best way I'll describe them is they're quite crazy, but in a good way. 30 years ago, they were living in Melbourne, and they always wanted to have this idea of a sea change, bring their family up around the country and you know, connected to the environment and the land. So after a dinner party, after too many bottles of wine, they stuck a pin in the map of Australia, and it landed in a little place just near Byron Bay. They went there to find land. They couldn't find anything. And they went back to Melbourne, and 4 weeks later, they got a fax through a real estate agent that completely botched up a sale of this property. And they ended up buying 95 acres, sight unseen, of this completely run-down, desolate land. So our region actually used to be quite similar to the redwood forests in the States. We had the largest subtropical rainforest in Australia. It was called the Big Scrub. It was 75,000 hectares. You know, this is a sizable rainforest, you know, millions and millions of years old. Then about 100 years ago, it was completely decimated. Only 1% remained. So my parents bought this land, barely had a green thumb between them, and they decided they were going to plant macadamias. But during this sort of course of finding out about caring for the land, they ended up, you know, falling down this rabbit hole of, you know, getting the rainforest bug and hearing about the stories of this great rainforest, and they just fell in love with it. So that's been our life work. 30 years ago, they knocked on the bank's door and they got a loan to put in 35,000 subtropical rainforest trees. I would have loved to be a fly on the wall that day when the bank manager signed that off. But we started regenerating. So my upbringing was in the rainforest, replanting, caring for the land. And, you know, now what we have is this incredible, incredible rainforest and farm full of life. The amount of trees has increased, you know, would be fivefold because the birds returned. You know, they eat the seed, they spread the seed. You know, we've got wallaby, we've got echidna, we've got koala have returned. You know, the life in the soil is better than it's ever been. And, you know, all of those native flavors that are natural to that rainforest, that's kind of where we lead into the gin. And that was my upbringing. I've always been fascinated with native flavors. And, you know, it's kind of the perfect palate to craft some gin from.
So before we get to that, and before we jump ahead, let's just bridge that by talking a little bit about your experience in the spirits industry, because you went off to the city, I think, worked for a few different companies as a brand ambassador, working for some of the big drinks companies. I imagine that's where you learned about this industry and how to make and distill. So is that where this sort of path on your family's land went to gin, or was there something else there?
We grew up as quite a foodie family. We'd make macadamia products during the week when I'd come home from school when I was all of 10, 11, and we'd pack our bags and go to the markets and sell them. That was our family. That's what we did. But then my world in the, you know, growing up in the food industry, I found that creative output in the bar industry, in drinks. You know, I started down as a cocktail bartender and always had a love of creating and showcasing great flavors and connecting those with customers and building cocktail lists. But I fell in love with people's stories, you know, in particular brand stories. And the first, opportunity I had as a brand ambassador was working on two brands, Brookladdie, which a whiskey comes from Isla. Also, they make the Botanist Gin. You know, there's a legendary distiller who's part of our story called Jim McEwen. And, you know, I would read and watch every single YouTube video possible. You know, he'd be talking about this spirit and the way he talked about it and conveyed it. You know, it was more than just product in a bottle. You know, that whiskey, the success of that whiskey means that farmers on Isla, this small community, are farming barley for the first time in, you know, hundreds of years. You know, the community is thriving. People have got jobs again. You know, the Botanist is like this shining light of hope for the people of Isla. And I just connected with that, you know, growing up in my region and on the farm. Yeah, got the job in marketing and sales. We imported and distributed brands and actually became a brand manager for Brookladdie and the Botanist. And yeah, I really kind of honed and got a great education about, you know, route to market on products. You know, I knew about a lot about them, but actually how the world ticks with them. How do you get it into a consumer's hand? And that's kind of where this sort of the journey goes to, you know, this chance encounter and meeting with my idol that was Jim McEwen.
And so was the conversation with him about creating a distillery, or was that something you were already thinking about?
You know, everyone has these crazy ideas. I was sitting in a little bar, would have been about 6 years ago, with mum and dad, cool little bar in Byron Bay called the Roadhouse Cafe. You know, it was probably about five Negronis in at this time. You know, this is where the good ideas come from. You know, we sort of challenge, you know, why can't we make a distillery? And everyone's like, yeah. And then, you know, those are just those ideas you put on a shelf and you continue on. So it was always in the back of my mind. But when I put on a tour for the great Jim McEwen, this guy is, you know, he's a rock star of the whiskey world. Like, you know, Mick Jagger of the whiskey industry. This guy's a legend. And I put on this 22-show sellout tour around the country. You know, hundreds of people packing into incredible venues just to listen to this man talk about whiskey. And, you know, they connected with what it was about. It was more than just product in a bottle. And during this tour, we formed a friendship. You know, I was shaking with nerves and excitement the first time I met him. But we formed this friendship. And when he asked me about what my family does, he's very much a family and values-driven man. And I told him, you know, we're a bit crazy in a good way, you know, what we've done with the land and, you know, the community and bringing things back to life. And then I was telling him about native flavors. You know, I know he'd be fascinated. And this is my world. I'm saying, like, you know, we've got aniseed, we've got aniseed myrtle, you know, cinnamon, we've got cinnamon myrtle, you know, we've got citrus, we've got finger lime, it's like citrus caviar and ribery and native raspberries and white aspen berries taste like lemon lime sorbet. And we just, this something evolved and started happening. And it was on this one leg of the tour, he actually turned to me and said, Eddie, we were meant to meet and we're going to start this distillery.
That is absolutely incredible. And walk us through the distillery you have today, because it's quite a beautiful place, actually. You do tours and obviously you're making the different products there. But talk to us about the development of that and what you have today on this same property you grew up on.
You know, the property that we brought back to life, you know, we've got 3,500 macadamia trees. We're a macadamia orchard. And then about 40% of that property is regenerated rainforest. So the distillery now lives in the heart of that farm and that rainforest. So we wanted to build it, you know, this is our home. This is where these products come from and showcase. So our first one is our dry gin, our Brookie's Byron Dry Gin. And we distill that with around about 25 different botanicals, 17 of which of those actually are not just native to Australia, they're native to our little pocket of the region. And the majority we get straight from our rainforest. So we'll go out, you know, we'll handpick native ginger, we'll handpick our native raspberries, our white aspen. You know, that goes straight into the gin fresh. And that is, for us, it's all about showcasing the incredible flavors we've got. It's more than that. It's, you know, after 30 years of building this rainforest, bringing it back to life, we get to give people a snapshot into that world. So we do rainforest and distillery tours. You get greeted with a gin and tonic with aniseed and myrtle and finger lime, and we walk you into the rainforest. Hot tip, the gin does taste slightly better in the rainforest. It brings people through the land. And when we take them through the rainforest and when they come through, then they learn about how we make our gin. they'll leave our property with, you know, this overarching, you know, kind of the main lasting point we want, which is, you know, regeneration doesn't take a lifetime. You know, what we've done here in 30 years, if you've got a small plot of land, anything, you've got a little, you know, garden in the backyard, start planning it out. You know, if it always seems like, you know, the task is always too big, but truly it's not, you know, and if everyone does their little bit, the world will be a much better place.
Well, that's interesting on the sustainability note. And if you think that a whole family can change direction and what they do in one generation, that's absolutely incredible today. And I imagine there are a few people will be knocking on your door after they hear this, let's hope. But walk us through the rest of the product. And then I want to talk as well about the plans to do whiskey, but talk us through the other product.
Absolutely. So, once we've crafted our dry gin, that's a distilled product. We have a 2,000-litre copper pot still, beautiful thing made for us in Tasmania. You know, that distillation is all about balancing those flavours into it. And one in particular is macadamia. It gives a lovely oiliness. But then we move on to our Byron Slow Gin, Brookie's Byron Slow Gin. And this, for me, is you can't get more native or showcasing our land, because it's made not with a slow berry. One thing we realise is we're not very good at spelling. You'll see it's S-L-O-W on the bottle. It's controversial, but, you know, we just don't have education in Australia these days. It's terrible. No, all jokes aside, we do that because we don't grow slow berries in Australia. It's very much cold climate crop where the slow berries would grow. But what we do have is this native rainforest fruit. It's a plum called the Davidsonia plum. And this is incredible bush food. And this plum has all the same flavor characteristics as that English slowberry. Mm. It's just missing two things. One is bitterness and two is marzipan. And I'm all right without having those two in my drink. So we steep that plum onto our dry gin. Takes 10 months of aging and developing. And that's how we balance in. So it's this incredible native, you know, plum-infused gin. Slightly sweet, but very refreshing. And then we move on to the last one, which is turning heads, let's say, in the bar industry. And it's pretty unique. And it's only been out for, 2 weeks in the UK now, actually. And it's called Mac. Mac by Brookies, we call it. And you'll see it, the colour just, you know, it's eye-catching. You know, it's like this rich, dark mahogany, like a beautiful old whiskey. You know, this is a liqueur. So this is a roasted macadamia and wattle seed liqueur, which is, once you get that smell, you know, I do this everywhere I go. As soon as you give someone a taste and you just step back, you just see these smiles erupt on people's faces. It's just got that, you know, hug on the inside nostalgia moment to it. And it's a liqueur. It's slightly sweet, but it's, you know, imagine, you know, for listeners out there, to be like Frangelico, but purely native. It's all natural. We roast the macadamias by hand. We use the shell from the macadamia tree and wattle seed. And wattle seed's like bush coffee. It's like, you know, dark chocolate meets, you know, coffee and roasted popcorn. Mm. It's pretty epic stuff.
That sounds absolutely delicious. Let's talk a little bit about the plans to do whiskey, because obviously you've got Jim McEwen involved, and so that is always going to be a thing. And even when you're just making gin, you know, often distilleries, the plan is to always make whiskey eventually, but it takes time, of course, to age things in casks. So what's the progression there?
Yeah, it's always, you know, it's a bit of a modern approach. You take, you know, people start making whiskey and they start then making gin straight away to bring product to market, and obviously cash flow is important. For us, it was we did it a bit of a strange way. When we started, our pure intent was just to make gin. You know, that's where we wanted, you know, that bottle is a voice for what we do on the farm, and it showcases all those flavors in there, and then the slow gin in particular and what we were going to do with Mac. But we had that pot still, and it really, at times, it's laying dormant. And there is something quite magical about whiskey, and obviously with Jim involved as well. You know, we started, you know, Jim and I had talk on the phone. You know, obviously he's in Isla, that's where his home is. I'm in Byron Bay, other side of the world. And, you know, this idea, you know, why don't we give it a little shot? You know, we can, and this idea started to build and build and gain traction. And we started our whiskey program. Our first barrel was laid down on the 11th of February this year. So, you know, 2.5 years into production. Yeah, for us, you know, whiskey is quite magical. You know, if you've ever heard Jim talk about whiskey, again, it goes beyond just spirit in a bottle. You know, when that spirit is distilled, comes from barley, you know, it's beer without hops. It's, you know, it's distilled. You know, that's like a newborn child. being born, and then it's given to a mother, and that mother is the cask, and the quality of that cask is what's going to bring that child up, and teach it to walk and talk, and it's going to breathe. It's going to breathe in that natural air from the environment, and that environment in which it grows up has such a huge impact on that product. So for us, no one's ever made whiskey in our region. It's subtropical. It's warmer. We'll get maturation probably at about 1.8 times at a more efficient rate of what would be happening here in Scotland. We're using Australian barley and, some pretty cool yeast strains in there. And the spirit, when Jim was over and we worked on that spirit and we got it right, he nosed it and he tasted and he said, Eddie, hand on heart, this is one of the most incredible spirits I've been a part of making. So it's early days, but the future's looking fairly bright. We're producing about 3 barrels a week, all going into full-size ex-bourbon cask, and then who knows where that life is going to go. It may go into a few wine casks later on, but it's going to have those foundational years in those casks, and it's going to be aging and breathing the same air we're breathing in Byron Bay. Days that it's hot, the cask is going to open up, that spirit's going to penetrate the wood, and days when it's cold, it's going to be pushed back out of that timber, and it's just going to be breathing. Casks, they're live, they're moving all the time. So it's an exciting next chapter for us for what we're doing at the distillery.
Eddie Brook, co-founder and CEO of Cape Byron Distillery. Thanks to Eddie for coming by. Connect with him and learn all about their incredible gins at capebyrondistillery.com. Thanks as well to Kieran Matthew Banerjee, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.